You want to go with mommy? There we go. Yeah, maybe. We're deciding. That's okay. All right. Well, we're going to continue with our message. And today, we're continuing a short message series that we began just last week. We're talking about empowering God's people. Empowering God's people. And I know that empowerment, it's kind of one of those buzzwords that you hear around corporate America or maybe in our political life together. But empowerment is not a bad word at its very core. When we talk about empowering God's people, what we're talking about is giving people the encouragement and the tools that they need to live the way that Jesus commands us to live. We're helping people learn to do the things that Jesus commands us to do. And so last week, if you weren't here, we talked about empowering God's people through sending them. We saw how Jesus taught his disciples to be like him. And the way that Jesus taught his disciples to be like him was to send them out to go do the things that he did. And so Jesus took his 72 disciples, or 72 of his disciples, I should say, and he sent them out to the towns, the villages, and the mission field ahead of him, and he sent them out with a message, just like Jesus himself had come to earth with a message. Jesus sent his disciples out to do the same thing that he had already done. That's how he taught them to be like him. And, you know, I think that we've seen that happening ourselves here already at Southwest Lutheran Church. You know, about a year ago, we were starting this process of sending, this process of sending people out. Way back then, we were going into our community, into our neighborhoods to kind of take a hard look and to see what the people and the needs of our community are really like, because we recognize, you know, the people just outside the walls of this building, you know, they may not be exactly like us. They're their own people with their own needs, their own desires, their own hurts. And so we went and we looked at the needs of our community and we discovered a lot of things. We discovered, for example, that, you know, over half the people in our community have no connection to a local church. And, well, that was kind of sad. We discovered that many of our neighbors, even though, you know, here in Southwest Fort Wayne, people think of this as one of the nice parts of Fort Wayne, we discovered that many of our neighbors face steep financial challenges. Probably because they're living here in one of the nice parts of Fort Wayne. We discovered that the problems of drug use and drug abuse are just as common here as anywhere else. These things are in our neighborhoods and our schools, and we discovered that many people here are struggling with mental health needs, anxiety, stress, depression, and it just turns out that here in suburban America, we're pretty good at hiding those things, and so you may not notice when your neighbors or the people around you are struggling with that. And as we went into our community, we became a little bit more like Jesus. I can tell you for myself, for sure, and also for some others here with whom I've talked, going into our community, it helped to create in me a sense of compassion for the people who are here and the struggles that they're facing, the struggles they're dealing with. It created kind of an ache in my heart to serve people and to care for their needs. And I couldn't help but think today, or this week as I was preparing this message, I couldn't help but think of this verse from the Gospel according to Matthew, just a few chapters before we read the day. This comes from Matthew chapter 9, where we read that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, he taught in their synagogues, he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness. And then, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion on people, and being sent helped create that compassion in us too. And I can't help but tell you too, this is kind of a cool connection when I realized it. As I was preparing this message, when I thought about how being sent has affected us here at Southwest, and I landed on this verse I just mentioned from Matthew chapter 9, that Jesus had compassion on people in their needs when he saw them. And then the very next verse after that was Matthew's recollection of our kind of central verse from last week. When Jesus saw people in their need and had compassion on them, then Jesus said to his disciples, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And those workers are you and me. So as disciples of Jesus, we are sent into the world. That's part of who we are. From the very beginning of the early church, the disciples were sent. They went out into the streets of Jerusalem to tell people about Jesus. And then the early church sent disciples from Jerusalem to all the cities and towns of the Middle East where they were at to begin sharing the good news that God had come with grace and forgiveness in the person of Jesus Christ. And as these disciples spread out, they went into streets, they went into marketplaces, they went into homes, the homes of their neighbors, and they went to the places where people who didn't know Jesus lived. where they worked, and where they played. And, you know, I've said this many times, and I've said it last week and today already, too, that God sends us into our neighborhoods. And I have to say that's not quite 100% accurate. I could say that a little better, because really, God does not send us to places like a neighborhood. God sends us to people. God sends us to people, because the good news of Jesus is not about places, it's about people. It's about forgiving people, saving people, giving people life, redeeming and restoring people through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because God sends us to people, what that means is that being sent is not a one-size-fits-all kind of proposition. God sends us to our neighbors, and so as we go, we here at Southwest, this group of people you're looking around at, we are going to look different from the church down the street. We're going to look different from the church across the city, because our neighbors are different from their neighbors, and their needs are different from our needs. And each individual person we're going to meet is going to be different. Some people we meet will be open to the gospel. They'll be ready to hear what it says and hear what it means, and some people will not, sadly to say. You know, that's one thing that we can learn from our scripture reading today. When different people hear the good news of Jesus, they respond in different ways. And Jesus shows us this through a parable. A parable is just a story with a message. And so we heard this parable today that many of us have heard many times from Matthew chapter 13. We read that Jesus was teaching and he shares this story. He says, "A farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown." And Jesus even explains this parable a few verses later. He tells us what it means. He says that some people will hear the gospel, but they don't understand it, or they reject it outright. And so faith never has a chance to grow. And he says that's kind of like when the seed falls on the path. It falls, but it never grows. And then there's this seed in rocky soil where a plant springs up but has no root, and it quickly withers. And Jesus says this is like a person who hears the gospel and they respond with joy, but then trouble comes. And they discover that following Jesus is hard sometimes, and they quickly fall away. Then there's the seed that falls among the weeds and is choked out, and Jesus says that's like the person who lets the worries of the world or a desire for worldly wealth take them away from the Word of God, that when we focus too much on worldly things, our faith can be stunted. And then finally, Jesus says that the seed that falls on good soil is like someone who hears the gospel and understands, and this person grows in faith, and they produce a great harvest, he says. Different people respond to the gospel in different ways. God sends us to people, and everyone is unique. But did you know there's a surprise in this parable too? There's a surprise here, because this parable is teaching us something about people, that's true, but this parable is also teaching us something about God. That's, in fact, why Jesus teaches us through parables. He's using an ordinary kind of everyday situation. Here, a farmer planting seed in his field. He's using an ordinary, everyday situation, but then Jesus puts a twist or a surprise there, because it's really meant to teach us about an unfamiliar situation. He's teaching us something new, and he's teaching us something about God. So when we pay attention to the sower, the farmer in this parable, that farmer represents God, we learn something really neat. Let me ask you, is anyone here a farmer? Or you maybe have a close family member who's a farmer. You kind of know farmers and what they're like. You people who know farmers, are they kind of frugal people, or are they wasteful? They're pretty frugal, right? And if you're a farmer, you have to be. As it turns out, farming is really hard. And if you want to be a farmer and you're a successful farmer, you have to be careful. You have to be frugal. You can't be wasteful. In fact, it's amazing. I have read about modern farming equipment and techniques, and I know this sounds really exciting to some of you people, but it is, actually. It's amazing what they can do. Did you know that nowadays, a farmer, they can go out into their field, and they take soil samples from different parts of their field, and they send those samples off to a lab somewhere where they get analyzed, and they get a bunch of information back, and they can actually load all that information into their tractor so that from then on, their tracker, it knows where it is using GPS, global positioning satellite system, thank you. Using a GPS system, the tractor knows where it is, and it knows just what the soil is like in every part of the field, so that from then on, whenever the farmer goes out to fertilize the field or to plant seeds or whatever they're doing, the tractor knows just how much fertilizer to put down, just how much to plant in any given situation, so that you can plant just enough, you can put down just enough fertilizer, but not too much. And so they waste almost nothing. And recognize the next time you eat an ear of corn, that is satellite-guided corn. Isn't that amazing? And they do this because farmers don't want to waste anything. They can't, not if they want to keep the farm. And if that's true today with all the technology and the advances that we have, then that was definitely true in Jesus' day 2,000 years ago. And so what's surprising in this parable is the fact that the farmer goes out and just throws the seed everywhere. Even places where he knows it's not going to grow, on the path, in the rocky soil, in the weeds. And so what's this mean? Well, if the farmer represents our God, and the seed represents that good news, then what's amazing is how God delivers that good news to everyone, no matter who they are. Everyone has a chance, whether your heart is fertile soil, no matter if your heart is that rocky ground or filled with weeds that make it difficult for the gospel to take root, no matter if your heart has been so hard that Jesus' message of life and salvation has just bounced off of it so far. God sends the good news of Jesus to everyone, that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can have forgiveness for the wrongs we've done. We can have changed lives here and now, and we can have eternal life with our Lord Jesus. We can have peace, and we can say right now that God gives that good news to everyone, and so that no matter what your heart has been like, if you hear that good news and turn to Him, He will receive you today. And now for us as the church, what it means for us is that we are sent. We are sent to share the good news with all people, no matter who they are, no matter what their past is like. But we also recognize that only some people will hear this news, this good news, and respond to it, will receive it and understand it, so that when we meet someone whose heart seems ready to receive this good news, well, we pay attention. Those people who are ready to talk, those people who are ready to learn, those people who are ready to hear the good news of Jesus, and they seem open to that, we pay attention to these people. We call them people of peace. And the book of Acts gives us a great example of what this looks like. Paul on one of his missionary journeys. In Acts chapter 16, the apostle Paul has traveled to the city called Philippi, and he seeks out people of peace. And we see this happen in just a couple verses. Luke, who's the author of the book of Acts, says this. He says, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira called Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. And we'll end there. So Paul and his companions, they saw some hints that this Lydia would be a person of peace. They found her at a place of prayer, so they knew she took spiritual things seriously. It was important to her. They were able to sit and have a discussion with her. They said, we sat down and we talked. And so she didn't just get up and leave when Paul and the others came and when they talked about Jesus. So she was willing to hear. And then ultimately, they knew when she responded in faith. And she said, yes, I want to have Jesus as my Savior. She believed in Jesus now as her Savior too. And so what happened next, what we'll see in a few minutes, Lydia was baptized along with her whole household, family members and children and servants all together. And notice how Lydia was open to the gospel, but also we can see how she had some influence on the people around her. When Lydia came to faith, her whole household was baptized. And this is one of the ways when we talk about the good soil in the parable producing 30 or 60 or 100 times what is sown, this is one of the ways that it happens. It turns out that people who don't know Jesus, well, they have friends and family too. And those friends and family, they tend to notice when someone comes to faith in Christ. And so when someone comes to know Jesus and their friends and family don't know Jesus, then there's a great potential for the word of God, the gospel, to spread quickly. And so here's a question you may have been thinking kind of all along today. If we're talking about empowering God's people to sow the gospel, sow the good news of Jesus Christ, then how do we go about sowing this seed in good soil? We have some tilling to do first. We have some work to do. This is what we've been learning to do together as a congregation, as we've been kind of going through this process for over a year now, where we have been going through studies, sermons, sermon series, and outreach events over the last year or so. Jesus sent his disciples out, and he told them to stay in homes and communities where they were well-received. And so Jesus' disciples went out, and they stayed where it was good for them to stay. Jesus told his disciples not to move around from place to place because he wanted them to stay and build relationships with people. And these relationships are important because most people, people who don't know Jesus, whether their heart is good soil or not, most people have to hear the gospel many times. They have to see the gospel and even experience the gospel many times before they're ready to embrace it. There's kind of this image we have in our heads, a kind of a common myth that's out there that people have, that people should be able to hear the gospel just once. And then immediately they'll respond in joy and faithfulness, and the Holy Spirit will always and immediately work faith in their heart. And, you know, that does happen sometimes, and it's amazing when it does. But that's not how it works for most people. Most people need to hear the gospel many times before that seed of faith takes root. They have to hear it lots of times. For some people, faith is kind of like a flash of lightning, but for most of us, it's a process. And even for us as Christians, you know, there's a reason why we get together every week to hear again and again that we're forgiven, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for you and for me, because we need to hear that all the time. People need to hear the gospel over and over and over. And, you know, if someone resists the good news, if they have that hard heart, then it takes even longer. And so this is the reason why we do those outreach projects in our community, because people need to hear the truth of the gospel, whether or not they respond in faith immediately. People need to know what Jesus has done for us, and they need to know that Jesus cares for them too. The reason why we go out and pray for our community, we do that too, is because we believe the good news of Jesus is true, and that through prayer, God will work in people's hearts, and he will open people's eyes to this truth. The reason why we do things like, even things that you might think, how does that reach anyone? The reason why we do things like invite people to watch movies at church, or we go and serve people in our community, or we go and serve hot dogs in the park, or things like that, is so that we can serve people, and especially parents and their children. The reason why we have a group like the People of Passion is to give us experience, to help us learn, to give us training in finding good soil and then sowing the seeds of the gospel in people who are receptive. We want to share the good news of Jesus with people. We want everyone to know that Jesus lived and died and rose again for them, and that whoever believes in him will have eternal life and forgiveness. So we have been sent into the community of Fort Wayne, and we're called to be a light to the community of Fort Wayne. And we will sow the gospel through our words and our deeds, through our worship, and by being with people. And we'll pray too for that harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times what we sow. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.